Hallelujah. All right. Let's open our Bibles to Acts chapter 20. And I have a message on my heart from last week. I tried to get away from it, really. I didn't want to address this because a lot of people address things and they fight and they put down one preacher and they put down this and that. And it almost becomes like you like this preacher, but you don't like that one. And I'm really for the principle of truth. If whoever's preaching it, doesn't matter if it's wrong, it's wrong. So I try not to get into the naming of names. But in this one, this was part of my life and what I've come out of. Most of us have come out of the Word of Faith here and also the Holy Laughter. So I want to talk about that and just some things for you to think about. Some of you that don't understand how this could happen to someone that loves God and how we all got mixed up with so much deception. Well, the good news is we're coming out of deception. The bad news is there's a lot of churches that are still preaching it, but people are starting to see these things are not working. And I've talked a lot about the counterfeit revival that you can look that one up. We're not going to go into all that, but there's a counterfeit anointing, which is strange fire. And I was wrapped up this myself. I thought it was the real fire, and I thought it was God, and I was so hungry for God, and how could anyone that loved God as much as we all did be deceived? So we're going to talk about that. So hang on a little bit. In Acts chapter 20, in verse 26, wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. Now think about this. How could he say that? That he was pure from the blood of all men. Because if you don't warn, the blood, he says, you know, if you don't warn, put out warnings, that blood will be required of you. He said, well, because I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. When we preach the word, we're not supposed to just preach on the good parts or the promises, but there's also warnings. And there's things we're supposed to watch out for. And he says right here, take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and unto all the flock over which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers, to first of all, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. And for this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in way far away. No. What does it say? Among you. Among you. Why do we always think false doctrines and false teachers are far away? Well, here he's saying they're among you, and they will not spare the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things. A perverse thing is a twisted thing. Why? To draw disciples after them. Verse 31, therefore watch. And this is the thing. We have got to watch in this hour. We have been lulled to sleep with a gospel that sounded so good and was so popular. It was on television, and it was a popular gospel. Well, beware when Christianity is popular, because it's not true Christianity. Jesus said, if they hated me, they're going to also hate you, right? So what kind of a Christian gospel was this? Well, watch and remember that by the space of 3 years, I cease not to warn. And I want to say, where are the warnings today? Why are not preachers warning today of the dangers of false doctrine, false preachers? Why are they not warning? Because as the things happen in the world and the shaking that's going on, people that are in these false movements are going to decree and declare and do all this stuff and nothing's happening, and it's going to cause them to fall away from the Lord. So I want our faith to be in him, not in ourselves, but in him, and come back to the simplicity of the gospel. We had to have work to be deceived. We had to have seminars and conventions and all these popular books to be deceived. And we read them, and then we threw them up and preached them again and just preached what they said, because after all, they had visions of Jesus. And so here we come into these movements as hungry Christians, and we were taken away. And there was no warning. No one was warning. So he's warning everyone night and day with tears. So I wanted to say today, we need to also be aware of warnings, because if Paul was alive today, they'd call him unloving, judgmental, divisive, a heresy hunter, one who touches the anointed. And they have so built that up that people are afraid to even question. They have doubts and they don't even know who to talk to. They've been so abused. I was pretty good at abusing myself. I had two detached retinas, one at a time. But by faith, I was just going to, you know, I went to the bank and did all this, and all of a sudden, water was going. I just thought, you know, you just aren't loved in those movements. You're just, you know, instead of denying yourself, you abuse yourself by walking in faith, so-called faith. It's not faith. It's not reality. And there's no one else to ever pick you up. Have you noticed? You never get picked up or loved or anybody walking beside you to help you through these hard times. You just abuse yourself more, abuse yourself more. I don't feel this. I'm fine. I you know. So we became war horses. I pretty much preach through anything now, no matter how I feel. I press through it because I've had a lot of training. But you know what I'm saying. Those of us that have come for this movement, if you coughed, you didn't have a cold. If you sneezed, if you had cancer, you were fine. I mean, we lived in this false reality because we were taught it. We were taught it. And we taught that if we went into anything negative, we were going to bring the dark side of the force on us, basically. So here, Paul's warning about winds of doctrine. And if you think about winds, we're really windy tonight here. They're forceful. And they're destructive. Winds can be very harmful. And spiritual winds can be very, very destructive to our emotions, to our bodies, to our minds, to our friendships. These winds, and they take you off course. The simplicity that's in Him, that's in Christ, make it so complicated. They make it so many formulas, so many steps you have to do. Forget about what Jesus did. It's all this stuff you have to do. And it, they're winds, they're poisoning. And today they're poisoning many people still in the evangelical industrial complex. We got to come out. We got to come out to the simplicity of being a Christian. So he's warning here in Acts 20, he's warning of error. Also in 2 Peter 2, 1, because of these false teachers, the way of the truth will be blasphemed. And in their greed, they will exploit you with false words. And then another place it says, beware of filthy dreamers. Everyone's got a dream nowadays. Beware of them. They will tag, the Lord told me this or that. And as a result, pulpits have become a platform for predators of the worst kind. And a lot of people think, if that's Christianity, I don't want anything to do with it. And they've mocked it. They've made it look like these evangelicals are just greedy, and the whole gospel gets lost with all this glamour and glitz and falsity. But there is the true gospel. And in 2 Thessalonians 2, 2-3, let no man deceive you by any means. He does not say there's going to come an end time, universal, great revival. He said there's coming a great falling away. And we can even see this now as people are not meeting in churches like they used to. They're falling away. They, I guess I didn't need that. We have to stay steadfast. We have to assemble ourselves together, encourage one another in the Lord, because the enemy wants to do absolutely the opposite. He wants to keep us apart. All of this is going into the Antichrist system, as we know. And I just want to say this really quick about how important it is not to add to the Bible or take it away. Because the movements we came out of, they were always adding to. This guy had a vision, and of course Jesus spoke to him and told him, we can commission angels now. We don't have to pray. We don't have to ask God for anything now. We just, you know, it's basically our will. So every false teaching, every cult either adds to the Bible or takes something away from it. And so there's warnings here in Proverbs 30, 5 through 6. First of all, it says, every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in Him. We're not putting our trust in ourselves. We're supposed to be relaxing and putting our trust in Him. In Deuteronomy 4, 2, you shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall you diminish from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God which I command you. Keep His commandments. We're commandment-keeping people. Deuteronomy 12, 32, what things soever I command you, observe to do it. Thou shalt not add thereto, nor diminish from it. This is all pretty much saying the same things in different places in the Bible. Revelations 22, 18. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, If any man shall add unto these things, shall God add unto them the plagues that are written in the book? These are really important scriptures. He said it more than once. Revelation 22:19. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. And then Matthew 24:24. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets and shall show great signs and wonders. And I was thinking about this today. Back in the 80s, I came out of a pastoral movement of signs and wonders. And these people were big. They were part of the evangelical industrial complex, I'll call it. And who are we to doubt these people? I mean, these people had huge ministries. And I thought, well, they're right. I mean, we have to learn from them. These are our mentors. But they were big into signs and wonders. And I remember when a lot of these pastors, and we'd meet up, it was like, we don't care where you're from. It doesn't matter. We all agree on signs and wonders. So basically, they were putting the Bible out of the picture, and they were going into experiences, even back then, way back then. And I have an envelope, and on it, it calls a conference of signs and wonders. Well, here he's telling us to beware when this is being pushed. It's experience being pushed rather than putting the Word of God out. They put enough scriptures so you think it's the Bible. And that's how the deception happened. We thought, well, these people are preaching the Word. But there's something about a false doctrine. It brings in a wrong spirit that causes spiritual pride, and it also causes division. And all of a sudden now you're puffed up with thinking you know something other Christians don't know. And right away it's got a bad fruit. Right. Bad fruit. And then in Galatians 1:6-9, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. This gospel, many of us have been preached, is a complicated gospel. We're supposed to believe he died, he rose, he's, you know, there is a heaven, there is a hell. Now that's so complicated, they don't believe in any of the things the Bible's saying. They're saying that's an old book. It needs to be put away. Don't even look into the Old Testament, and don't look into the book of Revelations. What is that? That's diminishing. That's taking away from the Bible. So all scripture in 2 Timothy 3:16 is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. So as we come out of these things, and some of you have been in this, and we want you to know you can repent. I've repented. I've asked God to forgive me. I've gotten rid of anything that I was transferred from other preachers that I thought was God. I so wanted God. I would do anything. I'd travel anywhere. And this is probably part of the problem, is we're so hungry when it comes down the pike, we think it's God, rather than anyone teaching us how do you test a spirit. How do you know if this is God or not? Rather than just, well, my mentor, in my situation, my mentor, who was the biggest woman preacher in the United States, who I knew for many, many years, 20 years, I was at her house, she was at my house, she invited us to this Holy Ghost revival. So of course I thought it was God, of course, because all of these people that I knew were all a part of it, but there were people there that didn't want to be a part of it. And I remember people getting picked up and thrown on the floor and silenced, like you were mocking God. And I look back now and I say, wow, that was a wrong spirit. That's the Holy Spirit would never throw someone up and throw them on the floor. At first, I thought it was the power of God. Ha ha, they're mocking God. It's so amazing when you come out of deception and you see things as they really are. Now, a leader in this Holy Laughter revival said, Lord, I want your fire. Now, I want us to test this. And I was shouting at the top of my voice. And I did that for about 20 minutes. And I was crying out, Lord, either you come down and touch me or I'm coming up there to touch you. He talks about a warm oil and honey being poured out in him, or like gasoline in a match. He was set on fire. It was like a river flowing out of me, laughing and crying. Now, Warren Smith's book, and I recommend you guys getting this, he just put this out, Titanic in Today's Church. He said something, that really made me do some more research, and I'm going to kind of quote him in a summary, and then we're going to go through two pages of books on this, because Warren Smith came out of the New Age. He was heavy in the belly of New Age, and he's come out of it, and he's exposing it, like what we're doing. We've come heavy out of the belly of some of these, and when you've been there, you have authority to expose it, because you've been there. You've lived it, and you're trying to help other people see it. Well, that's what he's doing in his book, The Titanic in Today's Church, explaining how the Titanic had warnings, but they didn't listen to the warnings, and the band played on. And that's what I feel like is happening in the church, and the band plays on. As these warnings are going on, and no one wants to listen to see what is really going on here, because there is coming a great shaking. Everything that can be shaken will be shaken. But when we're rooted in the gospel and in the true Christ, we won't be shaken, because we know we are called not just to prosper, like what we are called to suffer. We are going to endure some trials and troubles. And we've been learning this, that it's not all what we've been told it was going to be, right? But people that are not prepared for this are going to be totally shocked and upset and mad at God and cursing him. And in these days where they should be clinging to him, they're going to curse him because the false teachers have lied to them. So Warren Smith, he says, talking about this guy that says he's going to go to heaven, you better bless me because I'm going to go and touch you. You better touch me. He said, this is his my will be done prayer. Yeah. My will be done. I want you. I want your anointing. His threat to go up and touch God if his own needs were not met sounded more like Satan's, I will ascend into heaven. I will. Isaiah 14:13. We are to pray, thy will be done. In our movement, that was a mockery. You don't pray if it be thy will, because if it wasn't God's will, so the whole thing is you never submitted to God and prayed. You always had a power. You were shouting at him. You're always shouting at God, telling him what you wanted. We were all trained to do this. So, my will be done. God doesn't send his Holy Spirit to people in demand. They demand it, so he's given it, right? And we're going to talk a little bit about this fire, because I also did that. And because I was at these meetings and I got that spirit, I could do the same thing. I was preaching to 30,000 women at one time, believe it or not. We were laying hands on women and doing this and that. And I look back now and I'm just so grieved, because I really thought it was the Holy Spirit. But now that I look back, and this is why it's taken me a while to preach on this particular thing, I see the fruits of this. I see the spirit that's behind it, and I didn't quite get this piece that I'm going to share with you until I read this book, because he has come out of the New Age, and I've come out of the Word of Faith, and he said some things about the force of joy. I knew about the force of faith, that was part of the whole deception and part of the New Age, but I didn't know, and I didn't want to preach on something just because that person's off and we've all been off. We've all made mistakes. We've all come out of stuff. The point is, can we test it and not be deceived and see why we were deceived, repent of it, come out of it, and see that it's a bigger plan to bring in this counterfeit revival? So hopefully that's what will happen. So in Acts 8:9-12, Simon the sorcerer, he wanted the Holy Ghost power. And he wasn't granted it because his heart wasn't right. Well, how much we just want the power. We just want to show that we got the anointing. It's kind of what we went through back in the day, even though no one probably would admit it. Mysteries, or mystics, now we're coming into the whole thing of Gnosticism, Gnostics, and mysticism. These are the two evils that we're dealing with now that are in our midst. The mystics create truth through their experiences. Experiences is, you don't really come to church to hear the word, because that's boring. You come to have the glory hit you. You come to have an experience. You come to fall on the floor and laugh. You come to have soaking experiences. This is kind of an unspoken, but little by little, it was more you wanted an experience. False teachings magnify experiences. Now, the apostles had experiences in the Bible, but people today put themselves in that place of apostle, and they're thinking they're having experiences like Apostle Paul in the book of Revelations, and what they're getting is a false spirit. They're getting familiar spirits. They're even getting, the Bible says, doctrines of demons, right? So teachings are based on experiences, encounters. Everything's about an encounter now with God, angels, or visions. Galatians 1:8, but if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you another gospel contrary to the one we preach to you, let him be accursed or be destroyed. Because Gnosticism and mysticism is now the real threat that's in our midst. And we have to, it's always been around, but in the end times, the Alice Baileys and all these other, if you aren't a mystic, you're not going to survive. So mysticism, we have to discern what it is, and have we been a part of it, and repent of it, and make sure we get back to just the simplicity that you're okay if you don't have an encounter. You're okay if you don't have this or that. You just trust in the Lord and trust in his word and get away from all this fanaticism, right? Trips to heaven, spiritual drunkenness, new revelations and downloads are the new norm for the day. So let's test. Let's go into this and let's look at modern day so-called revivals. Or is it strange fire? Leviticus 10:1. That's not from God. First, I have to tell you, I was in the belly of this movement and I laid hands on people and they would get that manifestation too. I had women's meetings and I would have fought to my death to tell you this was God because I thought it was. And as I've come out of these things and I started studying these preachers, and it was overwhelming. I mean, I just wept and just wept. Some of these people, I was in their homes, they were in mine. A lot of you know my testimony. I don't want to get into that. I was always in the background. I've never really wanted to be up front. But I passed all this stuff on because I thought it was truth. And I know many of you out there listening were in the same position. You thought this was God and you wanted it. You didn't want to be left behind. I didn't want to be called a Pharisee or I had a religious spirit because you have an old wineskin. I mean, you just hear all this stuff and you just want to be a part of the new thing that God's doing. And these preachers would always tell you what God was doing. So, of course, you wanted to be in on it. This is how huge this is. So I didn't want to quench the spirit. I wanted the glory and I wanted the power to help people. But I noticed in this movement, especially this one girl, she was a teenager and she just always come for prayer, get in the glory and lay and laugh and all this. But I noticed after years, now I'm talking years, she never changed. In fact, I found out she was having an affair with a married man with kids and all this stuff. You'd never know it. She'd come in these prayer lines and just act just giddy and she knew how to receive it. And I thought, there's no chance. Then I found out what was going on behind the scenes because someone came and told me. I was like, there's no repentance. There's no sin. I mean, like acknowledging that what I'm doing is wrong, that I need help, that would someone please counsel me? And this was so true on so many levels that people were not changing. They were coming up into these prayer lines laughing hilariously, but they'd leave and do the same thing. There was never conviction or sin or repentance. It was all this, you know, let's go to church and really have fun. Let's go have fun. And I'm always for a party. Trust me. I have a personality. I say, hey, I'm ready. So I noticed the fruit was not good. And then today's church is told to come together in unity for the purpose of this great awakening. And this was called the coming revival. Books were written about it, the great awakening, the great revival. Beware when truth is sacrificed on the altar of unity. Forget truth. We're all coming together. And this is what we did in the Signs and Movement, Signs and Wonders conferences back in the 80s and 90s. Way back, it was Signs and Wonders conferences. Forget about the truth. It was all about experiences. And it started small, but then it came into a big wave. I don't know if this is still going on or not, but I want to read from this book, Titanic in Today's Church, A Tale of Two Shipwrecks by Warren B. Smith. Because he started mentioning, as he came out of this movement, the New Age, and he was in it, the force of joy. And that hit me because I thought, okay, I've read a lot of books about how this stuff is false, but I thought nobody's really explained to me. I have to, you know, we all have to do our own research. On the force of faith, I had to study all the God of forces and why it was wrong. And I said, but nobody really hits this force of joy. And they, you know, the Bible does have some scriptures on joy. He'll fill our mouth with laughter. So when I was in this, I taught that. He fills your mouth with laughter. But it doesn't say he throws you down. He makes you have no self-control. And you can't get up. And you're going to have an accident when you get home because you're so drunken. All this stuff was happening. And people were getting in car accidents. They were so drunk when they left. And I was like, this isn't right. This fruit isn't right. But he made me study this. And I kept looking about this force of joy. So I want you to hear what he says on page 97, the New Age Planetary Pentecost. Today's New Age leaders, and I'm not going to read all of it, and if you don't have the money to get a book or don't want to get the book, it is on YouTube, and he does have it, some messages on the Titanic and today's church on there. But today's New Age leaders, along with many church figures, I want you to see, this is going to merge at some point. With many church figures, and he names names, are similarly heralding a future of great awakening. The New Age leaders are describing this coming worldwide revival as a planetary Pentecost. Now, we didn't hear this. We just heard of it as being the Great Awakening, a coming revival. Now, these false teachers don't give you all of it. They use truth. And this is why it's so hard to discern when you're young in the Lord and you don't have anyone mentoring you. We had no one warning us. We had nobody. I mean, I'm one of the first ones saved in my family. We're all heathens, you know. So you have nobody in your family warning you. But many of today's church leaders similarly describe this coming revival as a second Pentecost, sounding much like the Holy Laughter. The New Age Planetary Pentecost is also referred to the Planetary Smile. Also sounding like holy laughter, the false New Age Christ has made it known that in his coming planetary Pentecost, listen to this, all sensitive persons will experience the joy of the Force, flooding their systems with love and attraction and uncontrollable joy. He says, an uncontrollable joy will ripple through the thinking layer of the earth. The co-creative systems which are lying physiologically dormant in humanity will be activated from within. Now here again, it goes back to we are gods. And this power is within us. So we have to evolve. We have to emerge. We have to elevate. Elevation will be activated from within. Now they don't tell you this because if we knew false doctrine right away, we'd reject it. So they give it to you little by little. These people are wolves. They're deceivers. Some people have been deceived, and others are deceivers themselves. And God only knows, but all of it's deception. All sensitive persons will feel the joy of the Force, flooding their systems with love and attraction, twisting passages from the Bible's Book of Joel in an attempt to prove that this planetary Pentecost is prophesied in Scripture. The New Age Christ states that when humanity recognizes its oneness with everyone and everything, this is their, and even AI, it's everything's connected. Everything is one. Everything becomes one. God's Spirit will be poured out on all flesh, they say. And it is more than curious that the counterfeit Jesus of the New Age, A Course in Miracle, states that when all humanity awakens to God's dream of unity and oneness, history will be fulfilled and the world will end in laughter. Channeling through the New Age leader, Barbara Marx Hubbard, in her book, The Revelation, The False New Age Christ, also states that his planetary Pentecost, his planetary smile, with its joy of the Force, an uncontrollable joy, will produce an irreversible shift, a paradigm shift of human consciousness. It will be a quantum transformation felt and experienced around the world. This quantum transformation will be for all who surrender themselves to the joy of the Force, to this Pentecostal experience for all. The New Age Christ describes how people who submit themselves to this uncontrollable joy will find themselves making a quantum leap to the next level of their spiritual growth. He proclaims it to be a born-again, planetary birth experience for the whole human race, a collective awakening to a joyful oneness with the world through the shared experience of the God within. Even though this planetary Pentecost sounds almost identical to the second Pentecost being heralded by many of today's church leaders, hardly anyone wants to talk of the obvious similarities between the two groups. He came out of this group, and they're talking this language. I came out of this group, and we're talking another whole Christianese language. Nobody wants to talk how they're obvious. Thank God he wrote this book, as he puts them together. However, definite questions need to be asked. For instance, will the coming international awakening that these church leaders merge with this great spiritual awakening? Are they merging today's eight New Age leaders and the false New Age Christ leaders? Will the quantum spirituality morph and merge with the New Age new spirituality and their quantum transformation? Then he goes on, but all of the present calls for revival in the world and in their church and in these churches, preparing the way for Jesus Christ or the Antichrist. Then it makes you really come to an awareness. Because when I first started seeing this, I'm like, I don't want to say it's occultish. I don't really think. I think maybe, you know, people were just deceived. Or the more I'm seeing this, this is definitely occultish. And this is part of the harlot church that we must come out of. And I was reading in Revelations today, I think it was 18, it talked about the drunkenness of the harlot. I don't want to get into all that, but just do some of your own study. Today's church is told to come together in unity for the purpose of this great awakening. Beware when truth is sacrificed on the altar of unity. Okay, I read that. The new spirituality, there will emerge the universal religion. Remember, I've been talking about this for years now, the one world religion. So don't think that they're just working in the world. They're also working in their churches. Remember I talked to you about Dr. Richard Day, who was an insider, and said, the churches will help us bring in this new order? Not all of them. Don't get freaked out. But you have to know which ones are which. And this day, you've got to know, you've got to separate the wheat from the tares. The religious leaders, the ones that are preaching false doctrines. He has warned in the Bible so many times of deception. In these end times, it's a great deception in the church as well as in the world. There will emerge the universal religion. The one church doctrines and dogmas, listen to this, will no longer be regarded as necessary. For faith will be based on experience. And we are all one. The Bible says in Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. I don't have to develop faith in my own faith. I'm living and walking in Him. As I read the Bible, I lean and trust in Him. It's so simple, we've made it hard. And then in Ephesians 5:18, be not drunk with wine, where is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Well, I was taught this was the Spirit, making you drunk. But proponents of mysticism distort the Scripture by claiming that it's legitimate to be drunk in the Spirit. Nowhere in the Bible are we taught to embrace anything that leads to a lack of self-control. One of the fruits of the Spirit is self-control. Galatians 5:22, therefore any spirit that encourages a lack of self-control cannot be based on God's Holy Spirit. According to the Bible, it's unwise to be drunk with wine to lose self-control, which can lead to a loose tongue, serious accidents, fighting, sexual immorality, and even premature death. So too, it is unwise, unprofitable, and contrary to Scripture to throw caution to the wind and embrace everything that calls itself Christian. Amen. It's Christian. It's a Christian book. It's a Christian bookstore. It's got to be right. Today we live in an age where evil is called good, good is called evil. Instead of being willing to live a self-sacrificing life, they place a Christian label on their false gods and idols that they serve. This is paganism with new names, new labels. And one of the things, and last scripture I want you to turn to is Deuteronomy. We're going to read that one. But as we're turning there, many are preaching heaven on earth. Heaven to earth, or earth invading, or heaven invading the earth. And they use this as that we're going to invade the earth. Now, this is happening not only in these New Age movements, but it's also happening in many of these churches. Jesus' example of prayer included these words, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven," Matthew 6:10. But the occult phrase, as above, so below, is used. And that's how the Message Bible translates the verse, "Do what's best as above, so below." The NAR, the New Apostolic Reformation, uses verse to justify their quest to make earth look like heaven. The reason is as follows. There's no sickness in heaven, so there should be no sickness on earth. This ties with the mandate of dominion theology. Redeem the earth by taking back what was stolen in the Garden of Eden. The logical conclusion of this faulty theology means that believers will achieve sinless perfection and live forever, the super race. It ignores the very things that Jesus promised believers. What did he promise us? Sufferings, tribulations, persecution. You're not going to hear any of these preachers preach on that. Not one of them will preach on Matthew 24. They ripped that out of their Bible. When Jesus returns, it will be a time, listen to this, of judgment and wrath for the nations of this world and unbelievers. Revelations 19, included in this judgment will be a false church that has rejected the truth. We do not want to reject truth. We want to heed the warnings. We want to heed the scriptures, take the whole counsel of God in. And we don't want to entertain false signs and wonders. Scripture does not paint a picture of a Christian utopia on earth during the last days. But understand this, in the last days there will come times of difficulty. Are we facing difficulty? Many are from other countries that are writing me. They're facing difficulty. It's difficult when you can't go see your mother. It's difficult. These things are difficult. Are you prepared for difficulty? Not if you just think everything's going to be utopia. You won't be prepared for what's coming. But understand this, in the last days there will be times of difficulty, for people will be lovers of self, on and on, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, 2 Timothy 3:1-4. But I want to talk about the last thing in Deuteronomy 18, in verse 9, because this is also mixed in with a lot of this experience, encounters. They're encountering Elijah. They're encountering different spirits of dead people going into their graves and sucking for their anointing. They want their anointings. This is occult practices. In verse 9, "When thou art come into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not learn to do after the abominations of those nations." The Old Testament is good to read through because you see how they offered sacrifices to Molech, and they did a lot of this pagan worship, which is still happening today. So if you read the Bible and you see the sacrifices of while they would send their oldest son, or they would send someone out of their family to get the blessing from their gods, this is still going on today. Now remember when Jesus was offered all the things of the world by Satan, he said no, but the Antichrist said yes. He wants it all. And so do those of the false church that want all this stuff, this materialism and the crown, the corona of the world. They want the crown. Our crown is in our future. They're living for a crown of the earth. It's two different crowns. You have to decide which crown you're going to go for, right? We're running our race to the end. We endure to the end with our faith in him. No matter what happens, we're still trusting and believing. He is our rock. He is our shield. Good times, bad times, when the fig tree blossoms or when it doesn't, right? Our hope and our trust is still in God. When everything shakes, his kingdom can't shake. We're still trusting in him. But he said, "Thou shalt not do after the abominations of those nations. There shall not be found among you anyone that maketh his son or his daughter to pass through the fire." The fire is a highly symbolic and scriptural. It can represent God's presence and glory, but it's primarily symbolic of judgment. I remember in these movements, we'd call the fire down all the time. We want the fire. Well, we did that because the people we were listening to did it. Monkey see, monkey do. The emphasis in these movements are in some form of manifestation. Fire tunnels allow people walking through a human tunnel to receive an impartation of some kind, including the fire of God. The physical sensation of heat in the body is thought to be the Holy Spirit manifesting. But this is a sign of a kundalini, or a chakra awakening, and yet another unbiblical manifestation in this movement. The disciples did on one occasion ask for the fire from heaven, but that was to destroy the Samaritans who rejected Jesus. There is no biblical mandate to seek or call down fire on believers. There is not even the suggestion in Scripture that sensation of heat are due to operation of the Holy Spirit at work in a believer. So here, he says, don't let your son or daughter pass through the fire, or that uses divination, or an observer of times, or an enchanter, or a witch, or a charmer, or a consulter with familiar spirits, or a wizard, or a necromancer. Now, necromancy is part of this move. They go to heaven and they talk to Abraham. Well, Abraham is dead. And guess what? God's not speaking through Abraham. He's speaking through Jesus. He's speaking through his Bible. Abraham is dead. But these people that are mystics, they believe the dead have a word for the living. So their whole mysticism is about going and getting answers from the dead because they believe that they have wisdom that we need. So their whole philosophy is different than a true Christian. We don't go after necromancy. We don't go after going into heaven and seeing what all these, because that's what they do, is they try to predict the future. For all those that do these are an abomination unto the Lord. Because of these abominations, the Lord thy God doth drive them out from before thee. So this is communication with the dead in order to predict the future. So they have these dreams, and they tell you what good old brother so-and-so said up there. And then they come down and they preach that, because now this is what's going to happen, because Elijah told us this. We saw Elijah. We used to listen to a guy that I was always talking to these dead men. It's occult activity. That's demonic. That's familiar spirits. It's strange fire. And I can say that with boldness now because I've studied it. And if you don't have that boldness, you got to study it for yourself. It's taken me years to come out of this rabbit hole because it's an evangelistical industrial complex. Amen. They control the airways. They control the megas. Now, not everyone's in there, but I'm just saying this is a lot bigger than us. This has been around for a lot bigger than us. We have a Jesuit whole system that's set into place that we were born into, that we have no idea what's going on. But we have God's word. His word is truth. Very few people I trust in today anymore. I used to trust everybody. And I've learned, boy, you're not blessed if you're naive. So in the New Age Course in Miracles, it is a plan for humanity to universally unite and awaken to the God within. 1 Timothy 4:1, give heed to seducing spirits. They're giving heed to doctrines that demons are preaching. Yes, demons are preaching today too. So we have to decide. We have to listen to the warnings. So, Father, we just present this to people. They're all in different places, I know. We just pray that we know your word is truth, and that by the fruits we shall know if these movements are producing good fruit, causing people to really get saved, causing them to walk closer with the Lord, or is this condemnation, mysticism, Gnosticism, special knowledge, and the whole Gnosticism has always been a problem. In 1 John, he exposed Gnosticistic teaching and mysticism. And they said in the end times, if you are going to make it in the world, church, you're going to have to be a mystic. So this is what we're up against. And Father, I thank you for Warren Smith and others that are laying their lives out, really, in exposing what they've come through for truth and just to help people. And we just pray that this YouTube will help people. We give you all the praise and glory. Everyone said?
Amen. If you would like to see more messages from Roberta on YouTube, be sure to subscribe to her YouTube channel, Roberta Morrison. Hit the bell button to be notified of new messages from her, and be sure to check out her YouTube playlists for other messages that interest you. Go to the livinginhispresence.org website page and click on the messages button on the top center to go see her messages. There are free audio downloads of the messages available also. We are viewer supported. On the main webpage at the top right is a give button. Thank you for watching, and see you next time.
Apart from you, we can do nothing. So we depend on you. You're the vine.